A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So, speaking of fashion education, each year, I teach a short course at Central St. Martin's, and I teach a business course. And every year, I start with a short video from a television series I grew watching up in Canada in the 1990s. And one of my absolute favorite episodes, and the one that I show to my class, features an hour-long conversation between John Galliano and Tim Blanks. And the video's from the 1990s. And the reason I share it with my students is because it really gives them this like millennial or Generation Z generation a sense of what fashion was like before the days of the internet. What it was like to create a message about fashion through runway shows and communication as opposed to Instagram and Facebook. And so I'm really, really delighted that we can have a continuation of that conversation here today, because Tim and John Galliano have been having a dialogue about creativity in fashion for almost 30 years. And to have them continue this ongoing dialogue here on the Voices stage today is really a true honor. So I'm very, very pleased now to welcome John Galliano in conversation with Tim Blanks. How are you?
Very good. I'm happy to be here.
John.
Hello.
Do we pick up where we left off? My goodness. The word creativity has come up a few times during the course of the day, and there's really very, very few people in fashion who define it as beautifully as John does and has in his career. I mean, if we just look at that right there, from your very first artisanal collection for Margiela, where you create an Arcimboldo face on a dress. And just that single image to me, just there's such a weight of history, culture, fashion, I mean, there's so much in that. It seems like a good place to start talking about your process, because we've never had an opportunity to do that in public, and I want to know how something like that happens.
Well, something like that, that collection was called Intentions, and it was to help me establish building blocks of where I would like to nudge Maison Margiela into which direction. And it seemed relevant, modern, and part of the DNA of the house, finding found objects, seashells, which I had started to collect in Los Angeles and Normandy, and then one of my assistants, his mother's a chef, and she had kept mussels, and so, hello. and that was my proposal of a kind of bold embroidery for Margiela. In fact, I've just come from Paris, and this is a pretty creative time for me at the moment because I'm working on the new artisanal collection. And that's a really exciting time. And it's great there. I mean, I feel much freer. My points of inspiration are much freer.
Why do you
and
think
also
that
is? It's a smaller team as well, so I'm able to work with a lot of students that come and do stage, student placements with us. And being a smaller team, they're very much involved in the whole process from A to Z, so they get to experience the fittings with me. I mean, I just came the other day. Can I tell you about Paulina? Gorgeous little girl that I discovered on Instagram, because I have new muses who I call Instagram babes. And Paulina is one of them. And she has this amazing line, and she's posting these amazing pictures full of emotion. I mean, I can see the references coming from Basquiat, but she's taken it to another level. She's a young adult. I mean, she's a child, really. And she's so inspiring. And, you know, she colors her hair. It's turquoise, it's pink, it's yellow, it's blue, and it's getting shorter and shorter. It's chemical crop at the moment. And she's really colorful, and it's, her jumpers are all déchirés, and with what's left, she creates a kind of boa. And I felt like a connection there. I mean, I could see the hope in her eyes, the determination. You know, when you work with these young adults as well, sometimes I forget, and I think they're like my assistants, so I really do involve them in the process. And there was this great dress that was, well, it will be great, I hope. I got her involved, and it was kind of, I'm having another go at the bias cutting because I feel ready to have a go at that again. And and I started to spin out a narrative because, I mean, I like to tell stories to inspire the people. I don't say them outside anymore. I keep them in-house, but it still inspires my teams.
Because your stories used to be like movie scripts. I mean, the story
yeah, they became quite quite deep. Well, it was just great to know who the woman is. So there's Paulina. I'm talking her through this dress and how I, you know, and it's about a lost love. It's a transatlantic love, and I'm thinking of crocheting it together and. I've got Joan Baez music in the background, so she's kicking off in my head. And I'm trying to communicate with this child. And she's just looking straight at me, almost like she's getting it, you know? And I said, you know, it's a long transatlantic love, and, you know, moonlight. And you pick up a biro, and you start to write notes on your arm. Where would you start writing the notes? Because, you know, I'm done with classical placements for embroideries. And she said, oh, I totally get it. I totally relate. I was like, really? She went, yeah, me and my boyfriend tattoo each other. I went, genius, get upstairs, get on with it, and I'll see you on Tuesday. Total connection. I mean, like, amazing. I never had that connection before. I mean, the students were kept on a separate floor in a, you know, different room, and these guys I'm working with now are great. I mean, I still ask them to make teas and coffees and arrange a nice plateau, because that's important too, and the photocopy, that is important. But they do get, you know, a little opportunity to get involved in a outfit number 17 or whatever.
Do you think that's the nature of the house, or do you think that reflects a change in you?
both.
The openness, the hunger for freedom.
Yeah, it's where I am today, how I'm feeling today. I just feel much freer in this equation, if you like, yeah.
You just slipped something in there a little while ago, and I'm not going to let it go. What on earth do you have left to do with the bias cut? I thought you'd pretty well
I do it, right? Well, I found a way to do it for day at Maison Margiela. So I started playing around with tweeds on the every time I did it, it looked like old Galliano. Do you know what I mean? I thought, well, I can't bring that to Maison Margiela because it's just not on. You can't do that. So I kind of put it down for a bit. And I've been working on different weaves of fabrics and just actually trying to produce the bias for day, doing it with wools and tweeds and less of that satin back crepe and silks of the 90s, which is totally relevant then, of course. So trying to do it in just a cooler way. I don't know if it's going to work, but we're trying.
So what does that say about today? Like tweed on the bias that you think is right for now, where satin back crepe was right for the 90s. Why is tweed on the bias right for now?
It just, it's one of my signature cuts, and I think it's a shame not to exploit it, but I want to do it in a way that's relevant for the house. For Maison Margiela, and it seemed that playing with masculine fabrics and tweeds just opened up a whole different way of looking at the bias. I just feel that it could be a nice way where Marta Margiela's work and my work synthesize in quite a beautiful way. We'll see.
Have you found an innate compatibility while you've been working at Maison Margiela between what Martin was doing and what you want to do?
Absolutely. Well, yes. I went into the archives, you know, I was really excited to, but I didn't want to, I'm not there to curate Martin Margiela. And well, we had a discussion with Martin and he was d'accord with me, but to understand the psychology behind it, and then to use that as a springboard for going forward. So I did study the cuts and tried to take myself back, and it was quite easy for me to go back into that period, that kind of 80s when I was in London, and we were all turning things inside out and upside down, and discovering the innards of tailoring. It's how we learn. We deconstruct it to then construct something beautiful. So that was fine. I didn't have. It was more the next step. Now, where do you want to take this now? As I said, I didn't want to get pushed into a corner of just curating, or like at Galliano, just known for producing bias cut dresses, because I did do other things. Or at Dior, the Dior bar jacket. Again, I did do other things. So one has to be careful and keep those options open. Until, you know, the buyers kind of understand where you're trying to go and take the brand. The pyramidical way of working is something that I like. This is artisanal too and shows the process. This is a good way to come into Matan psychology, if you like, too. I call it the anonymity of the lining. Just when you thought you could do everything with a lining, we further studied. And I love the idea. Well, it's a coat, and you see the lining that you can pull the coat off, and you actually wear the lining as a dress. You can step into it. So what was the lining becomes the dress.
And this is an idea that you develop in artisanal that then...
This is something that was developed into the art. Yeah, well, I thought it was kind of in an anonymous way. It was a branding as strong as a Chanel button or LVMH logo. I needed that. I felt the house needed that, but I couldn't do it that way. I didn't want to do it that way. And I felt that, you know, yeah, from across the road, if a lady, you know, or at a party took a jacket off, wore it back like that, you'd know it was kind of from Maison Margiela. So that has often inspired, influenced the ready-to-wear. This was another moment. I love this one I called Unconscious Glamour. And we had a muse here. And she was called Madame Le Pigeon. So I wrote her, I got into it like an actor gets into the character, and she took me places. But just that idea that the park bench had just been freshly painted, it could be Hyde Park or Les Tuileries. She's wearing a bit of a bias cut skirt in tweed there as well. It must have been bubbling. And she sits on the bench and gets up and walks away, and she's got the paint marks, which I thought was just so glamorous and so modern.
Why?
Just the way she looks.
I mean, the randomness of it, I love.
Just that's what I was feeling. That's what I felt.
That's the unconscious glamour, the
totally.
Idea.
Totally. I mean, there were other stories. She had a little makeup mirror that was cracked, and then that turned into an embroidery in the ready-to-wear and so on. And so I find the story in-house inspires the team. You know, it's nice to know who she is or he is. That's the cracked mirror compact that then became a dress that we layered over things.
Do you think that a lot of this is the fact that you've acquired such an accomplished vocabulary in creating clothing, that as you get older, it's like you see it with a lot of artists, that they can gradually take apart what they did because they know it so well, they're able to unpick it and create a new language that is based on, in a way, destroying the old language. Do you feel that is, in a sense, what you're able to explore at Maison Margiela?
Yeah, especially the fittings. I mean, because I introduced the atelier and the petit man and that way of working, because you know, being able to produce volumes is what fashion is about. And sometimes in ready-to-wear, there just isn't that time. So for me, working this way is really good because I can create those volumes. Sorry, what was your question? I forgot.
No, it's just that. Do you feel that?
Oh, I know what you were saying. Yes. Absolutely, and I find myself doing it in the fittings too. Because when I first went there, I was cleaning everything up, and Vanessa, who I've worked with for about 25 years, would kick me and say, "You're going too far." I said, "Well, I'm trying to flatter." She went, "No, loosen up." So I do the whole fitting like the way I used to, and they say, "Look, guys, I'm really sorry, but we have to do this again tomorrow." And then I'd come in and start ripping things apart, and just the fitting had to be cool as well. How does it feel to wear Maison Margiela today? And that was really interesting to, and I'm still going through that. That's a whole new exploration, a new language that I'm kind of learning.
And where are you in that process? Because that's fascinating.
Still ongoing. Still.
Yeah. Do you feel there's this interesting thing about this kind of creativity, as the world goes in one direction towards a much more prosaic and pragmatic state of mind. It seems to me the other direction can flourish as well, where creativity almost takes on this sort of
political role. It has to. Where can we be without sensing the emotion of the cut, bless you, or a frill, or, you know, if you don't sense that, I mean, you can only decline so much, and then you're declining what? We need the parfum. We need the essence, the undiluted creativity, which is artisanal. Only then, I feel, can we exploit that into the ready-to-wear, or the eau de toilette, or the eau de parfum, and so on, right down through to the accessories. You'll see the, not on this slide, you won't, on the next maybe, you'll see...
There it is, there's the bag.
Oh, is there a bag?
There.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
The anonymity of the lining, that concept, runs right through to all the accessories. Success needs coherence of a brand. And these are some ready-to-wear examples. The chiffon blouse, it's actually the lining. Now the lining's cut in chiffon or georgette to look like a blouse. You can still wear the jacket off your shoulders. So.
With the working in this new way for you, working with a smaller team and much freer, do you feel the weight of technology now in a way you didn't? Do you feel, you know, the digital era kind of shadowing you when you're...
Oh, yeah, I'm much more in touch with the real world today than I ever was, for sure, especially surrounded by my kids. And, you know, the sensibility of, you know, I talked about traditional compositions of for an embroidery or something, and Paulina comes along and starts talking imogenes and plays, you know, symbols to Snapchat, and I'm like, go on. And I'm like, yes, this is like so right. This is how people communicate today, John. Let's take that on board in this crochet embroidered dress. So, absolutely.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? For me, I got a chef-grade range recently, and now I'm cooking new things every single night. Seriously, no cuisine is off limits. The point is, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. I can picture myself with a car full of groceries, cruising down the highway, soaking up the sun with the available dynamic Sky Panorama glass roof. Ah, pure bliss. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Hey. It's good Snapchat, isn't it?
I mean, I can't do it. Those things bug me a bit. And then you...
But do you
then
use
you
go it?
To, no, I don't. I do Instagram. I do quite like Instagram. But then you go to Kyoto to yes. have these notions created in these incredibly arcane techniques, which brings together the old world and the new world.
Craftsmanship. That was, sorry, just to go back to that point, the glamour, that unconscious glamour, that was its influence on the ready-to-wear and all these lovely bright colors and bonded fabrics with a kind of Eastern sensibility and print. I still kept in touch with many artisans from all over the world, and it's a great way of working at Maison Margiela because there's always a cross-pollination and a search for authenticity. So I come to England for my tweeds or my rubber Macintosh fabric. Yes, we went to Kyoto for the master Kyoto artist there who did a... It's a discharge print, which they do by hand, so they take all the color out. And then I ask them to paint an embroidery back in.
What's the bit you like the most?
The process. I love working with my team. The process is the most exciting because it's you just never know how the day's going to turn out. It's, you know, the surprises.
Has it always
that
been?
That was a surprise. Sorry, Tim, to interrupt, but that's really interesting to talk about that one. That's called a glitch. Well, I didn't know what a glitch was until I read it in the press release backstage at Maison Margiela. and Ed called it a glitch. I was like, wow. But it was for real, because Bark, one of my young kids, I was like preparing some work for Pat McGrath. No, I wasn't. I was preparing some work for college. It did inspire Pat later. And this happened. I went, oh, how did that happen? That Klein blue and this torn edge. It's like a collage. He said, oh, I don't know. I said, well, make it happen again. And he couldn't. He tried and he tried. And you know. And then you get a glitch app. It's not the same, though. That was real. And at that time, that just very noble act of tearing paper, the emotion of tearing paper.
Was it something I did? Was it always like that?
Well,
or was that kind of happy accident? Or are you more open to them now, that once upon a time you would have tried to make it perfect?
I think I'm more open to them now, a little bit braver maybe. I'm more open to them now for sure. I mean, that was me throwing bleach over a coat, and it was just trying to discover different ways of creating this emotion of something that's torn. Ripped to Reveal, I called it. And as the collection progressed, the first girls came out in toile and paper patterns, and then as you ripped the paper away, you started to reveal the very sumptuous fabrics, and that's one of the processes, and it goes on and on. And then at the end, she was in full color and brocade.
Do you think you've embraced imperfection, maybe in a way that you never did before?
Yes. I think I did before. But now I
you're more comfortable with chaos.
Maybe. I don't know. Perfection is quite. When I used to think I had to be perfect, it's actually quite limiting. And I realise now that only God can produce perfection, and that imperfection.
He makes awful mistakes. So.
Let's talk about that later. If you're talking about the state of the world, it's not God's fault, it's our fucking fault, all right? But I don't know if you're going there. Sorry, what was I talking about? See, I was second guessing you.
Comfortable with chaos.
Yeah. I was saying about perfection and God, and I just now realize that imperfection actually gives me many more possibilities and avenues to travel down. And it's that self-willing that I used to do all the time is just not appropriate. And it doesn't work for me now. So I leave things a bit more open. Like, you know, like I said about the fitting, I'll come back. That's the great thing about artisanal too. I can go home relatively early and think about what I did that day and then come back and say, well, actually, it was wrong. Whereas before, it just had to be right and it was already being cut before I'd finished my last remarks on the toile and it was then gone to industry, you know? So it's really important to have that artisanal, I think, really important.
Do you think it's different? Do you think it makes a difference that it is... Maison Margiela, that in that house, do you feel in a way it's almost like a performance that you're performing Maison Margiela? So you said before that you didn't want to do something that was John
Galliano. No, I don't feel it's a performance. I can't work when it's just I have to feel it. I talked about authenticity. Your team knows when you're not being authentic. Mm-mm, they'll pull me up. Mm-mm, no. It's not a performance. When you're cutting or draping, they've seen me do enough of it to know when it's authentic.
And it's authentic to you?
To all.
And to Margiela and to all the kids you're working with?
Yeah, I like to think so. I mean, I'm not yet in my full stride at Maison Margiela.
God, what do you think that will look like?
I'm not a prophet, I don't know, but... all I can say is that I'm much more in the moment, you know, so I'm just trying to do the best that I can today. and leave a lot of options open, especially with buyers around the world who are still quizzical to see where I am taking the house. And that takes a bit of time, as you know.
I love it that you when you talk about it as work, it seems like authenticity, a very sort of honest labor to you, and you come in your work coat, your white work coat.
Well, this is authentic. This
yes,
is
absolutely.
Yeah, this is what we wear, the white coat. It's what the premiers, the petit main. It's what you wear to work, and I wear it at work.
And everybody does who works.
Yes, everybody wears it. Yeah, yeah. Or look a bit like mad scientists or doctors or run away from mental home. But do you know what? It's great because you commute. Before, sometimes I could be quite unsettled in a fitting because some fabulous girl would walk in and she'd be wearing a vintage Galliano from, I don't know, 83. And it would break the concentration. And now what's fab, I've noticed, is that your communication is much pure in a way, and then you go down to the shoes because that's where they express themselves, the girls and the boys now, isn't it? The kind of socks or stockings or shoes, and so that's really interesting to
Why,
see.
Why? What's going on down there?
Well, they express themselves in colour or sheer, or it's yeah. But you don't have to wear the coat; it's not an obligation. But to respect Mata Mangela, we do.
Lee Edelcourt made a very good point when Lee, who spoke earlier this afternoon, made a very interesting point about how it was old-fashioned of fashion to elevate the individual when she was talking about this sort of a group ethos, a creative group ethos, that you work at Maison Margiela, the white coats create this sort of uniform, you talk about your team, it feels very much like you feel like you are part of a group making something, that you're not the sort of tortured individual isolated in a tower, that you're very much on the floor with the team. It feels very democratic or even socialist.
I don't believe that you can create a collection, by democracy. I really don't. Someone at the end of the day has to say, this is cool, this is shit. A lot of people aren't brave enough to do that, so that is my job to act. Someone has to make that decision. Of course, we all work on it together, but I'm the one that has to say, well, I feel this is the way we want to, should be going, or this does express it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does, but I also feel that you're more agreeable to a stuff that's coming in from other people.
Oh, absolutely.
Take it all
but that, I think also, yes, that's where I am today. And I think also it's the layout of the studio is much more open than the more traditional houses. And because the teams are smaller, there's less kind of people that you have to go through. So I can walk into my fittings with a gang of kids, and it's just great. It's great.
Where do you draw all the... Because your collections are so multi-layered. I mean, when you see them for 8 minutes on a catwalk, it's impossible to take in everything that you're looking at because every single surface is textured or printed or detailed in some way. The last collection, for example, the surf element in it was a surprise. Because, like I said before, you have the artisans in Kyoto using ancient techniques to create very, very modern effects. And where are you still pulling in all your
that collection just mentioned was kind of how we were feeling in Paris, that last artisanal. And you mentioned surfer boys and skateboarders because I have a great admiration for them because they have to stay in the present. Whatever tricks they're doing, goofy tops or waves they're riding, they have to stay in the present, otherwise they're dead. And at the time, there was all that violence going on in Paris, and I felt like I wanted to return to historical inspiration, and my mind went back to when I was a student, and I'd taken great inspiration from the French Revolution, which is kind of what was going on in Paris at the time, seeing what we were seeing, cars exploding and fires. And I like the idea of taking that inspiration, but then reducing it to a silhouette. So imagine like a Victorian portrait, if you like. When you saw it, you felt it was a French revolutionary type, but then when you colored it, it was a skateboarder. I know we have some cutouts that might help me to understand. Well, oh, that's an Instagram babe, and then I started to collage Victorian, but in plastics and things. That's another anonymity of the lining. That's one piece. So that was the collection I'm actually talking about now.
Like there was surf, and what else was there in the...
Well,
in
the there was surf in this one. It was more skateboarding in the other one, where you can see through the colours.
I just love that polyglot effect. You know, you're looking at so many times and places just collided in one garment, in one look.
I like the scuba boots, the tabby toe scuba boots. We went into the archives and actually found the original tabby toe, which is much deeper. So if you go to the shops now, you'll get the real thing. And that was a great kind of chance to exploit that idea. So it's all relevant.
What do you imagine this will look like as you put this together? You know, the ephemerality of fashion, the ephemerality of creativity in fashion is something that I've always found a little bit frustrating. You know, that these things exist for such a short time. Has your attitude to that changed at all? That the sort of fleeting nature of what you do that has become something that people talk about a lot now. Design is trapped by this. Do you feel freed from that?
I think I mentioned earlier my perspective on the whole industry. The industry hasn't changed. I mean, the deadlines are the same. Show date, deadlines, production. But my perspective on it has changed. And it is about trying to find a balance, which is really important.
And you found one.
It's, you know, yeah, every day I try.
I liked you talking about walking to work, and you talked about leaving, making that walk a way
a
to...
A mental and physical way of
just
leaving things behind. It's like 10, 15-minute walk, which I can do with my dog, Gypsy. And it is good to just cleanse, so when you get home, that's it. It's left outside. There are moments when I can't leave it outside, but it's not as bad as it used to be, where I was just living it all the time, and that was quite tiring, quite exhausting.
I get the feeling that your sense of what's valuable in life has changed.
Yes. You bet. yeah.
That you know what's
important.
Took me
a while to work it out, but yeah.
But this is you're expressing that in this work here, that there's a contentment. Would that be right?
Well, I'm happy to hear that you see a joy. And yeah, there is a joy, and you can see when there's a joy.
Are you aware of everything that's happening in fashion, you know, everywhere else, that you're aware of how different this voice sounds in the context of what we see in fashion now? The joy, the exhilaration?
I'm aware of what... I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Well, this your voice in, when you see 20 shows in Paris,
right.
Maison Margiela now just has this incredible exuberance.
Right.
And it's exhilarating.
Right.
And
it's authentic, I think it's authentic. I mean, do you have to see 20 shows a day?
Do I? I don't. But I have to see 20.
Make a choice, no?
Just the one. no, there is a sense of uplift, and as an antidote.
I'm happy that if you feel that, it's done with joy, it's done with passion. That's what drives us all. So if you feel that, that's great. That's a great emotion. It's great that you can come to a show like that and walk away with that emotion, because so many people will go to shows with almost like a preordained emotion because it comes from a memory of having to do like 40 shows a day. You're like, oh, not another one. And that's a good place to be, I think, in your head. I mean, that's a really good place to be.
I also love the fact that you work with the same team of people. And I think that that's
amazing.
Being so important as well,
yeah,
in creating this,
community. Yeah.
Like
it's what I wanted to do when I talked to Renzo Rosso. I wanted to do it a little bit more on my own terms. And if I was to come back, I wanted to do it with people that I trusted and people that, you know, you develop it. When you work with someone 25 years or more, you do develop a shorthand. And sometimes you don't even have to speak in a fitting. They just know from your body language that, son of a bar, it's not working, you know. And they'll try and fix it, or they can just feel it. Or when you talk about or ask for a certain piece of music to be put on, they know that I need that piece of music at the moment, because I'm about to cut a frill and I need the passion or the beat, the heartbeat to cut it in a certain way, not in a generic, regular way. But I might want to hear a tango and feel it, and that's expressed in the way we cut the frill. It's a luxury to work with people and a team that has grown with you, for sure.
The way you talk about it, then, you know, you've got the tango playing and your hands are...
I've got Joan Baez in my head at the moment.
What, Joan Baez?
Joan Baez.
One? Which song?
Love is a four-letter word.
Oh, that's sweet. As long as it's not the Ballad of Joe Hill. When you talk about it, it feels to me like it's like listening to an artist describe the work.
I'm a dressmaker.
I wanted to say, what do you call yourself?
A fashion designer.
No, you said... you said...
Timothy.
You said dressmaker. I really like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I make dresses.
John Galliano, dressmaker. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Is that it?
Voices is a completely different kind of fashion industry gathering, bringing together the movers, shakers, and trailblazers of fashion, and uniting them with the big thinkers, entrepreneurs, and inspiring people who are shaping the wider world. Through a program of provocative talks, interactive discussions, and unforgettable activities, Voices sparks new ideas and solves real-world challenges by connecting fashion industry leaders and entrepreneurs with visionaries from fields as diverse as science, technology, health and wellness, food, film, politics, the arts, philosophy, and philanthropy.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store, but did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere, online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/BOF, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BOF to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/BOF.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.